You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with your host, James Creviston.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James, and I'm back today with my co-host, Mr. Glenn Tickle. Glenn, how
Hello,
you doing?
Again, I'm good. I'm tired, is yeah. how I am.
You're tired. I heard you went to Minnesota. Was it Minnesota? Is that where you went?
Several places. Okay. But I was in Minnesota yesterday morning, and I'm back in New Jersey as of like 1 o'clock today. It was
yesterday. How long was that trip? Yeah.
3,500 miles from when I left my house to when I dropped off the rental car.
Wow.
Since last Wednesday, so like just under 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh. And that was that whole time you drove that during that last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It was to Louisville for a corporate gig, up to Gutty's in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. Spent the night in Chicago with a friend, drove down to Kansas City for some shows, then up to Lincoln, Nebraska, then Gutty's in Minneapolis, and then home. Home was the worst part by far.
Oh, because like, it was a long straight trip all the way there.
Yeah. The rest of that got all kind of broken up pretty manageably, but I drove from like 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. yesterday, and then from this morning a little before 8, and I got home at like 1.
Man, you're a boss.
Yeah. And you got to Minneapolis. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, I got from Minneapolis to the Pennsylvania border yesterday, and then drove all the way across Pennsylvania and home today.
That is wild. Hopefully, you like stopped in Philly and got a cheesesteak before you went over to the bridge in the New Jersey.
No, I'm further north.
Oh, you're further north now. Dang. Wow, that sucks. I would love that would be my party. That's how I would do it. So that's just me. And you got to hang out with the comic doc.
Yes, right? VN, yeah. Who I'd actually met him briefly before, and we didn't realize that until Saturday.
Yeah.
The Friday show, we're like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And then we were getting dinner before Saturday, and I mentioned going to Florida to film a set for Jokey TV. He's like, oh, I saw my friend record hers. And I'm like, who's your friend? And he's like, Rhonda Crowley? Crowley?
Corey, Rhonda Corey.
Corey.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew I was going to mess her name up. I'm like, yeah, I recorded the same night as her. So I'm surprised we didn't meet because there weren't that many people there. And then we both realized kind of exactly at the same time, like, no, we did. We did meet.
That's funny. And Vienne is in a writing group with me, like a comedy writing group with Robert G. Lee. So we have, literally comedy is a small world. If you know one person, it's like the 6 degrees of separation, Kevin Bacon thing. You can figure out, you know, somebody who knows somebody that you know. It's super weird. So that's so funny. When I saw the post on Instagram, I was like, oh my gosh, like these guys are performing together. And he's hilarious too.
He's really good. Yeah. I had a great time working with him this weekend, and he bought me dinner. He's very nice.
Well, he's a doctor. He better buy you dinner. No, don't, Vienne. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Vienne.
that to be fair, that was basically his reasoning. Because we were sitting down, and like before we ordered, he's like, "Just, you know, I'll take care of dinner." And I was like, "Oh, I was about to make the same offer because I'm the headliner this weekend, but I will also take you up on the offer because I know that you're a doctor and you probably." Make more money than me.
Yeah. His jokes about being a doctor are fantastic too, where it's like he's just so funny, man. I want to have him on the podcast as well. I'm working on trying to get him on there. It's been rough for us to like kind of get together, but he's so funny. He's so down to earth. He's a smart guy. It's like, holy cow. That
we were talking about Watson and Crick before the show, the guys who mapped out the double helix pattern of DNA.
Yeah,
we had like an extensive conversation about that before.
How does that even come up?
He was at an event with Watson, I think.
Oh,
at one point, or no, a friend of his was, and like the friend had no idea who he was talking to. He's like, "How did you not just ask him 100 million questions?" I'm like, "Because most people don't have that many DNA based questions, like." for most people's level of understanding of DNA, like that cartoon in Jurassic Park, pretty much like covers what everybody needs to know.
Yep. That's me. That's what I would know. I'm like, how'd you make your DNA talk?
Did you guys draw that cartoon? Wow. Yeah, like, you do great
you're
work.
An idiot.
Like, you created Mr. DNA. Incredible.
Can you make dinosaurs too? Like, he'd be like, please leave. Please leave right now. I don't want to talk to you anymore. That's awesome. And then how cold was it? Because he's from Florida.
Oh, God.
And yeah, I saw video and pictures of his face, and he was just like, he was like, I can't.
I mean, I'm from Jersey, and my face was very similar. It was 2 degrees.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was. I think that's the lowest it got, at least when I was outside. Vienna is a bit where he talks about weathermen and how they can get away with being wrong, which is like a pet peeve of mine, and I normally get annoyed when I hear jokes on that premise, but I checked the weather before I left that trip, and it was supposed to be way warmer. So I'm like, oh, I'm probably not going to bring my winter coat. And then last minute, I decided to bring it anyway. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you can't trust them. Those weathermen, they don't know. They didn't know it was going to be 2 degrees.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing.
I stuck in Kansas City in a snowstorm. Snowed here while I was gone. None of the forecasts that I looked at for that trip were remotely accurate.
How do weathermen keep their job? They mess up so often. If you did that a normal job, like a normal
Well, they're trying to predict the future, so I think we should cut them some slack.
Okay, so then weathermen should just be palm. We should just pay them the same respect we pay palm readers or like Miss Cleo. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, people pay a weird amount of respect to Miss Cleo. Like, she had an empire for a while until she got arrested. Is that how it ended?
Oh, I want to.
Am I misremembering this? Didn't she go to jail for fraud because psychics aren't real and you can't just make
psychics
stuff
are
up
not real? But
phone?
I think there was something. I know there was a lawsuit, but I don't know if she actually went to jail.
Seeing this commercials all the time, and maybe that's why she's not currently.
Yeah. I wonder if she saw that coming.
Yeah.
It doesn't even say. Oh, she did get attacked by the FCC lawsuits in states where they were saying that they were getting like unsolicited emails and all kinds of stuff like that. So she was doing some like bad advertising stuff, which is what it really was. And that people were mad that when they called Miss Cleo, they weren't getting Miss Cleo, but they were getting her associates,
right?
And, who were actors reading
some
from
other
scripts.
Lady.
Yeah, I'm looking for Miss Cleo. Nah, baby, you don't need Miss Cleo. You got me. You're like, okay, all right, I guess. So that's what people are mad about. I guess they ended up with deceptive advertising, billing, and collecting practices. She wasn't indicted, but the network had to pay over $1 billion, and then they had to erase $500 million of debt. Owed by its victims and $5 million fine to the FTC. Jeez Louise, how much money do they make? That is insane. Yeah,
I mean, that's the level of faith that we should be putting in weathermen, I think.
We should not. People pay, they paid back $500 million of debt and were able to pay back $1 billion plus a $5 million fine. No.
I want weathermen to have that money. That's what I want.
Not if they're doing that bad of a job.
I want Glenn Hurricane Schwartz driving around in a Maserati.
He's the
local weatherman down in Philly.
Oh, is he? Okay. I love the weatherman names they give him. This is Steve Storm Sturge. We're coming here live.
Guy,
you're like, oh my gosh.
Mr. Schwartz and all his great work. At least he just puts it in the middle and like it's obviously just a nickname. I don't like the ones where it's like, yeah, I'm I was going to say Johnny Storm, but that's from the Fantastic Four.
There probably is a Johnny Storm somewhere. Yeah.
You can't just use a fake name. You can throw a fun weather name in the middle there.
Yeah.
Also, Glenn Hurricane Schwartz always wore bow ties. I don't know if he's still on TV. He was when I was a child.
Doesn't it seem like, though, like a weatherman and an adult film star can both make up fake names for themselves? Yeah. And it could be the same guy, by the way.
System. Yeah.
What street did you live on? And what's the there's like two. What street did you live on? Something like that. I forgot
that. Pet name, I think. The one I always heard in college. First pet name in the street lived on.
Yeah, I'm Bandit Forest.
Mine was Doodle's Powderhorn. It wasn't like a good Powderhorn, you would think. Solid. Porn name, but you can't start it with Doodle.
I'm Doodle Powderhorn. No one's going to take you seriously.
I mean, nobody takes me seriously with my actual name either. So it doesn't.
That's true.
It's only slightly more ridiculous.
So as the headliner for Gutties, or how did you get into Gutties? Like, was it because of Dry Bar stuff, or like what helped you get into Gutties, or how have you done them before? You didn't do them before, I thought.
I had not done them. I did a guest spot at Indianapolis after I had already booked my weekends. I emailed them a couple of times. This is the boring answer.
That was good. I always hear good things about them, so I would love to go do Gutties sometime, but obviously it's like, I've got to figure, you know, I have to have more material and I have to have a name and whatever. There's no reason they're going to like just book me for no reason, you know.
They were great. We had pretty good crowds all four nights between the two clubs. Yeah, I had a nice time. But yeah, like I had emailed them a couple times. The first few times didn't hear anything back. If they would have, like if I knew the headliner there on any given weekend, I would be like, hey, can you just drop my name, because I've emailed them a couple times,
right?
Which isn't like, that's not a dig against them. Like, I get emails I don't respond to either. Like, I get it. But yeah, I mean, I am terrible at following up when I email places. Like, I usually do like one and done. If I don't hear anything, I'm like, ah, they hate me. They don't want anything to do with me or my comedy.
Haven't you seen the it's called like the best email, the world's greatest email or something like that, where you like, after you email me somebody like two or three times, you email this like one phrase and it either gets somebody to respond to you or like they never do it again, but there's like a 90% success rate or something like that with it. It's like, what's it called? I think it's called like the
reply
ultimate
or
email or something like that.
This dog.
No. But it's like, it's the thing like,
it was a National Lampoon reference for the listeners.
Yeah.
Threatening a dog. Although I've been talking a lot about my dog died last year, and I keep bringing it up on stage.
My gosh.
Kind of against my better judgment.
Okay, it is called the Magic Email, and I'm going to read it to you guys. Everybody can go Google this. It's a real thing. The Magic Email. It's called a follow-up that works. And this is all that you email. And I'm not kidding you. This is it. Since I have not heard from you on this, I have to assume your priorities have changed. That's it. That's all you email to them. Nothing else.
I think I've gotten that email.
You can put like the name, you can put like Steve, blah, 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 and then your name, and that's it. But like, you never write any more than that. And honestly, I use this in, I use this in people who have like reached out to me to hire me for something. And then I do three follow-up emails. Where it's like, I'm just touching up with you. And then on the last time, the fourth one is always the magic email. That's it. And then, but you'd be surprised. Like 70% of the time I get a response like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I forgot. Like, you know, and what the other three they ignore for some reason, but that one they're like all about. I have no idea.
I think I might have gotten that from you. Like, it sounds very familiar.
It'd be funny if I was the one that sent it to you at some point.
I'll have to look it up after the call, but
yeah,
I'm going to search my inbox for that email specifically and see if I've gotten it over the years.
I bet you have. It's so funny.
I'm not good at replying. If I don't reply like immediately, I won't ever do it because I just forget that email exists.
Well, how do you manage all your schedule and stuff or what? Like, how do you do that? Do you have somebody that does that for you? Is it like, how do you keep
I just put everything on a shared calendar with my wife, kind of once it gets booked, and I sometimes forget to do that. I'm pretty bad ADD, and like I don't but friends of mine in Kansas City, the one of the shows that I did was like a pop-up show, so they didn't know the location until 2 days before. And they were asking me, I'm like, I also don't know the location. I've never been to Kansas City. Like, we'll all find out together. But they're like, well, it says on the link that you sent me, like, starts at 7. Like, do you know, does it start at 7 or is it later? I'm like, well, it says 7, but I'm the one who put the information on that website. So let me go back in my email and double check, because I do not trust my ability to fill in information at that accuracy. I'm like, it's, you know, I think I got the right city, I'm pretty sure. But we'll see. We'll see if I've never done it, but I'm convinced someday I'm going to like drive to the wrong college, like entirely. I'm going to be three states away from where I need to be one night.
I am always, I'm always concerned about that. I'm always like, man, this is, I triple check everything before I go anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, like when I stop for gas, I like double check that I'm driving to the right state or whatever.
I was telling
Vienne, I'm like, I did a bit where I played the violin Saturday night, and I mentioned, cause I had like a set list up on stage with me, and I don't like having them, so I called it out, and I said, like, because my ADD is so bad, I had to write the word violin on a set list, because even though I drove a violin halfway across the country and brought it to this club, there's a real chance I would have forgotten to like pull it out and play it if I didn't see the word in the middle of the set. I would have just hit 45 minutes and be like, well, all done, have a good night everybody, it's a good thing I brought this thing with me.
Right, so you play the violin and you, during your set?
Yeah, not well, but I do.
Do you not do Mr. Roboto anymore?
I was gonna do him on this trip, and then my three-year-old told me I wasn't allowed to take him, and I had to instead bring a vintage Pee Wee Herman pull string doll that Ricky Glore sent for my daughter.
Like, that's awesome.
2 years ago, I think. She was going through a big Pee Wee phase.
Your kids know who Pee Wee is. My kids saw Pee Wee Herman, was like, who is that weirdo? And what
it was all on Netflix, and my three-year-old loved it. It's not on there anymore, so we had to buy her the DVDs recently.
Which ones did you buy? Pee Wee's Playhouse? Did you buy like Big Top Adventure or
Pee Wee's Playhouse? Big Top is streaming, and we bought Big Adventure, but Big Adventure scares the kids because it's terrifying.
Really? Is that the first? Yeah. That's the first one, though. That's an original movie, right? When I was in my film production class, we had the writer of that movie come to our class and be our substitute teacher and play that movie and talk to us.
You had Pee Wee Herman?
No, Pee Wee didn't write it.
It was Pee Wee and Phil Hartman, right?
No, there's another writer on it, and I will tell you his name momentarily.
Is this where you find out that you didn't know that Pee Wee's real name was Paul Rubens?
No, I knew that was Paul. I knew it's Michael Varhall. He's the third writer on that list, and he wrote with them, and he was our professor for like two classes, and all we did was watch Pee Wee's Big Adventure with them as he told us like how they came up with this joke, and or like really mostly it was like this. It was like, so this is the thing, and he like shows the scene. He's like, but Phil wrote that, and then he'd be like da 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 da. But yeah. Phil wrote that. Like, it was all the funny stuff was like, Phil wrote that. It was super funny that we just watched it. And also, half of my class was people my age, like 30-ish. And the other class was like 18 to 21. They had no idea what any of this was. They're like, what the heck is this movie? And why are we watching this?
I love it.
It was so cool.
So, Large Marge scares me. Like
Large Marge. I bring that up when
even the part in the magic shop, like that's where my kids checked out.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of spooky. And then there's like the weird shots of the clown that he changed his bike to, like that. Yeah. Like, forget this. We watched Big Top Pee Wee, and she really likes the Netflix one from a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I really like the opening sequence of that where like it's showing him getting up and all the things doing in his house. Or I thought that was always cool. And then you know, you get the Biff-like characters like, Pee-wee, I want your bike. Yeah, and he's like, no, I'm not going to give you my bike. It's my bike, you know. So, yeah. I don't know. I grew up on Pee-wee's Playhouse, right? I did. So, like, for me, and I used to do the word of the day and, like, run around my house whenever you do it. The word of the day is...
It's wild when it's on Netflix and you just watch 20 episodes in a day. Like, the word of the day becomes meaningless. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
she'll just watch a bunch of episodes and she's like, why is everybody yelling? I'm like, well, because when daddy was your age, you would just, anytime somebody said fun for the whole day, you just scream and drive your parents crazy, but you just watched 8 episodes of this, so we're not keeping track of the list.
Yeah, exactly right. I love that. I mean, I used to love it, and Cherry and all that. Just, it was great, man. I'm gonna have to go back and watch that with my kids and see if they actually enjoy
it. Rules. It really holds up. Like, the show is genuinely so very funny.
Yeah.
Especially my favorite episode is what's the name of it? It's in season five where they, I think they already knew they were canceled and they're just kind of stalling for time. But there is, it's a literal like 90 second shot. They do not cut away of a close up of a dog eating wet dog food. And it's like mic'd so you hear it. And it goes on for well over a full minute. And it's like, this is the funniest way to fill a contractual 22 minutes of television I think I've ever seen. There is one cutaway because they cut the Pee-wee kind of watching it in disgust.
Well, I always forget until I watch it that Lawrence Fishburne's Cowboy Curtis, which is so funny to me. It's like Morpheus is Cowboy Curtis. Like,
there's a couple. Jimmy Smith shows up as a conky repairman.
There's gosh, man.
I didn't know until like this past year that the nun in the fake movie in Pee-wee's Big Adventure is Miss Yvonne from the show.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I didn't recognize her until 2021. Having seen all the playoffs a whole bunch of times and that movie a bunch of times, I was like, oh, well, I mean, because she normally has like the big hair.
So the big gap in
the nun DuFont outfit.
Wig thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's funny is Pee-wee Herman was our generation's Borat.
Yeah.
Where people that's,
I think, a fair comparison.
Well, yeah, because we would all do the voice, right? The kids would do the voice, and they would do all Pee-wee's talking stuff. And then Borat came out, and everyone started doing that voice. I think there's the. Yeah,
they both got gray suits.
Yeah. Oh, wow. They both are. You don't know where either one of them are from because Pee-wee's not from a real town in America.
So yeah. And it changed. Like, I was trying to explain this to my kid where because Pee-wee is a character, like, the three movies aren't. There's not like a Pee-wee Herman cinematic universe. They're not linked. Like,
no,
it is. It actually comes up a lot in Barbie movies that my kids watch, where like the Barbie in any given Barbie movie is not the same Barbie. It's just we put Barbie in a movie. Barbie is playing this mermaid character or whatever. Pee-wee's the same way.
Yeah.
Where it's like this character is playing this man child named Pee-wee, but the Pee-wee from, the whatever 2019 one that they put out, like it's not the same Pee-wee from Pee-wee's Big Adventure years later. Like,
right.
It's Paul Rubens as Pee-wee. It's a weird thing, but
Does he do anything anymore? Cause he was originally a stand-up at first, then he created Pee-wee Herman. And then he like, that is what made him famous.
Paul Rubens is still popping up and stuff. He was on that Gotham show, reprising his role as the Penguin's dad. Just on another show. He just did as Pee-wee, Paul Rubens did a radio hour.
That's so cool. I gotta watch that.
KCRW, I think, did it.
That's so funny. And then like our childhood was semi-ruined in like, what was it, 2002 or something like that? Whenever all that happened.
I think it was way before
1991. Sorry, 1991.
Yeah.
Where that thing. And all of us as kids are like, wait, what? What happened? People did what? You know? And so
I didn't understand. So I'm like, I don't know. He still rules.
Yeah.
I found out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he still rules. Like, I do not care.
Yeah, no one was mad. None of the
Fred
kids
Willard
were
did
like
the
mad.
Same thing. We're gonna say we're mad at Fred Willard. Get out of here.
No, gosh, no. So it's very interesting that's the thing, and that character comedy isn't a thing very much anymore. I mean, you can only name a handful of character comedians, but they were more common in the 90s. You know, I mean, it's,
like I've seen a couple around, but even the ones that do it like might do a couple characters, but it's not like I perform as this character.
Larry the Cable Guy is the only one I can think of.
I am this character.
Do you know of another one besides Larry the Cable Guy? Larry the Cable Guy is the only one I know that still exists and does it.
I'm trying to think of like a more current one. I don't know.
I wonder if those days are over or if we'll ever get character comedians again. I always think about that.
Come back around.
It feels like we get the circle of like right now my kids are wearing 90s clothes. Like kids are wearing like Nirvana shirts and stuff and like Sublime. I'm like, what is happening right now? Where did we time travel? What's going on? I walked past a Forever 21 with my daughter. There's a Sublime t-shirt in the window. There's like all these bands that I grew up with, Deftones and what. I'm like, what is happening right now? You guys have no clue who any of these people are, and you're wearing their and it all looked like pure 90s clothes. It's like, okay, weird. I don't know what's happening in the world.
It'll come back around. I'm sure there'll be a brief character comedian resurgence. I don't think it'll last.
But I would love to see that. I want to see the first one.
It'll be a fun 6 months, you know?
You think it'll only be 6 months? Actually, things move faster now, so I think you're right.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, I think one or two might break through.
Right.
And then I guess if it gets... I'm trying to think of, like, when's the last time that really happened after Larry the Cable Guy. But, like, yeah, like, there were Larry the Cable Guy movies where he's Larry the Cable Guy in...
Yeah,
whatever.
Operation Dumbo Drop or whatever and stuff. Something like that. It wasn't really Operation Dumbo, but something like that.
So
Witless Protection, I think, or something like that was one of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I watched one of them.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was hard. I was
do like, not sorry. Recommend.
No, do well,
he's fine in Cars, I guess. Except for Cars 2, the one that is about his car. That's the worst. Not only worst Cars movie, might be the worst Pixar movie.
Yeah. Well,
why might is it the worst movie ever? Like top 10 probably. It's really? It's pretty high. It's so bad.
All right,
one and three for Cars. Great.
What about the guys that do internet like funny stuff that then go do stand up? Like, is that kind of similar? There's, like Trevor Wallace and those guys like that.
I don't know the names, but I'm aware of. Yes, there are. A few, like, that's where character comedy is currently.
I guess I was gonna say that's kind of what is character comedy right now is the YouTube. I'm this kind of character on YouTube, and then I go do stand up, but they don't even do their character type thing on stand up because I've seen a couple of them. One of them does it with what's the Christian dude that got in trouble a while back for the
was lady? That the he performs as like a Southern lady?
No, John there was Christ. John Christ has some other YouTuber. The guy that performs with him, but
there was some guy who did like he did like New Faces at JFL as like a character and like blew up at everybody because
nobody
I don't remember the details, but I think like he had a bad set and he was taking it out on other comics and
really?
Like, well, maybe if you were better at stand-up you would like
oh damn
because it's like it is different like doing
of course
YouTube videos in character and stand-up comedy are different things.
Like, well, yeah, because if you mess up in the YouTube thing, you can just refilm it or cut it or edit it or whatever. But if you mess up on stage, dude, that's you're live. There is no backing out of that now and stuff. So that's awesome. Gutties recommend?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then what was the other club you went to? Or the other? Is that
just both Gutties? I just did. I did a CBD tea shop in Kansas City. Another bar in Shawnee, Kansas, just outside of Kansas City. Two shows in Lincoln.
And where were they at?
Both at bars, and I don't remember the name.
Okay. How do you feel about bar shows compared to club shows? Like,
I was on the bar, like, so it's so bar specific. Like, so even Lincoln, I did. They were literally like two blocks apart. Husband and wife team of Brian Barbecue and Ham Clancy were producing simultaneous shows. And I'm like, is Lincoln big enough for like a husband and wife producing team to be putting shows on at the same time? Turns out the answer is no. Everybody was at Ham's show at Something Raven. That was the really nice one. So I would love to say their name if I could remember it. Something with Raven in the title in Lincoln, Nebraska. I think the second Thursday of every month they do comedy. Go check it out. There was another one that no one really came besides the comics and like the couple people who are just going to be drinking in the bar anyway to the other one in Lincoln. But yeah, like Brian Barbecue, who I'd done an open mic with randomly months ago in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He put that one together, and then like it was just him, some of the other comics, like I said, like three or four people at the bar. I think more people came in later, but it's like a long room. The bar is right in the back of it, so like it's not like a separate room where performances happen. It's just all in the bar. That's what I don't like, because even the one I did in Shawnee, like the room was really nice. Like if everybody was there just for comedy, would have been fantastic, but there's just people at the bar watching sports on mute and actively trying to talk over the comedy because they just want to have a conversation. And as frustrating as that is, I can't be mad at those guys. I'm ruining their night by being here. Like they don't want this to happen.
Yeah. That's the tough part about bar shows, is you're, especially if you're competing with us with sports, like then it's like, yeah, oh, man.
Well, it's one of those things where like either the bar has to tell them like, hey, we're turning off the TVs and there's a show, so shut your mouth, or I have to try to do it and I'm not that confrontational. Plus I was last. So like they're talking through the whole show and then I'm going to go up for like the last 10 minutes, be like, hey, shut up. Now the important guy's here.
Like, no, that's
that good. Doesn't feel great, you know? You just roll with it. Like, well, you just do the best you can.
If Gutties ask you to recommend somebody, throw my name out there. Say James.
I've got a list going. Because I think like when Laura was there and I was like, hey, I emailed them and I didn't hear anything back. Like, drop my name. And then Joel Byers was there and I said the same thing. And then I forget, it was the end of last year, I think they reached out and we set some dates. But again, I know it sounds like I'm complaining because they didn't email me back right away, but like, I get it, especially like clubs get so many emails a day from comics. You only have so much time to watch clips and like,
well, you only have so much stage time to give away too.
Yeah. Right. Like they've only got so many weekends to book. Like it's,
that's awesome.
And I, from the bookers that I've talked to, like they do it kind of in block. So like, it's not like every week they're booking the show 6 months from now and the next week that 6 months. It's like, all right, I got some time today. Let's fill out March through June and then you're good for a while. Right. And then sometime probably end of April, you're like, all right, let's get some more on the books. So like, if you're not emailing them in that window, why would they respond? Like, I'm not booking anything right now. I don't need to reply to this, which I, again, understand and would operate with the exact same system if I were booking anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably what I would do too. I do want to eventually own a comedy club, just so everyone knows. That is like one of my goals in life is to own a comedy
club. Because I'd have to name it Tickles. And like,
I'll do it.
I don't
for
feel
you.
Great about that.
I'm gonna get a comedy club and I'm gonna name it Tickles, everybody. That's what it's gonna be called. And Glenn's picture will be our picture of the guy out there just smiling like Tickles. Like,
yeah.
And like I'll pay him a monthly fee, a royalty fee for his face.
My big goofy face. You're gonna have to get the dimples right before
I will. I 100%. You get to approve the photo on it so that we know that's correct. But Tickles,
that's
Tickles,
the thing that is genuinely like my main reason for not wanting to do it, because like I was on the road for like 2 weeks missing my kids and stuff. I'm like, if I just had a club, I could perform whenever I wanted. I could bring comics I like to me, but I'm like, I have to call it Tickles, and I don't want to, because if I don't, everyone would ask why I didn't for the rest of that club
forever
existing.
Forever. Yeah, you know, 100 years in the future. Wait, didn't Glenn Tickle start this? Why did he never call it Tickles? What's wrong with this guy? Was he not that funny?
Right.
You know, yeah, he's gonna get slandered.
I don't want to live with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, where can everybody else find out more of where you're going and all the information about you, Glenn?
I think we talked about it last time. Look me up on Bands in Town. I'm trying to get my numbers up on there, even though they just emailed me about some NFT thing they're doing. I'm like, ugh.
Everybody's no, doing you. NFTs, man. Everybody.
I know.
It's wild.
I didn't read that much of the email, but they will like let you know if I'm coming to your area. In an automated way that I would never be able to keep track of myself.
No, that's going to be the goal. I mentioned this before, and I mentioned on another podcast that I'm working on. I'm going to work on a Patreon so then we can have people get on it every month and do stuff like that.
We talked about this last time.
We did
time,
talk
right?
about it a little bit. And I want to be
I have
to
one
like
bill. It's just not launched because it's like I just have like Catholic guilt of asking people for money.
I decided I'm going to only do one tier. I'm just going to do a $5 tier. I feel like that's fair enough. We'll do because I was going to do like 5 and 15 or 5 and 20. And I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
$5. You'll get this podcast for every week. You'll get a Comedypreneur podcast that comes out and we'll do a monthly Q&A. And then I'm working with a live show app guys to do a weekly open mic with feedback where we do the open mic.
See,
and
I like
feedback.
That. The thing I got hung up on was like setting the tiers and the different like rewards or whatever. Because the only thing I can think that would be genuinely of value to anybody who wants to pay me money just because they like my comedy is like I record at least the audio from every set I do. I'm like, I can post some of those. Like, it's going to be kind of a mix of older jokes and newer stuff depending on the week, but like, it's mostly for my own reference. But I could see how, if a comic I really liked offered that, I'd be like, yeah, like I would listen to like Mike Kaplan's voice memos, you know, like,
yeah, I'm
trying to think of other comics that I would. I'll give you $5 a month for that. Like,
I think Mark Norman was the one I looked at that does like a, he does like a monthly Q&A and like feedback type thing. But I would like to do like a weekly open mic where 10 people, 10 patrons can sign up, and you can't sign up for another month if you're going to do it. So like, mm-hmm. That way we can get through people and stuff. And depending on how it grows, maybe it's every 3 months at some point or something. And everybody gets like five minutes.
That's the other thing, is I would be horribly embarrassed if nobody signed up for it.
Oh yeah, that would be terrible. But hey, you know what? I'm going to offer it and let's see what happens. I mean, worst thing people can, I mean, I have people that I consult with and stuff. So I do consulting and I do a lot of help with those things. I mean, for $5 a month, you get to do a weekly open mic and I give you feedback. Oh, hey, here's a tag for your punchline. Here's a better way to set that up. You don't have to take it, but hey, here's some advice, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. So I don't know. I feel like that's the way to go. And I try to decide whether I'm going to do a live show one or if I'll do a special Zoom one where we do that stuff. You know, I don't know. I haven't figured out yet. I want to do a live show because I want to support them. I think what they do is amazing. So that's probably how we'll do it. So
yeah,
be on the lookout for that. It'll probably come April, to be honest with you, because I'm working on a new logo for the show. I'm working on a new logo for Patreon, a new logo for YouTube, all that stuff. So there's new stuff coming and we'll get there. And I want to, and people, enough people have asked me, hey, can you do X, Y, Z? Or hey, do you have this thing? And I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's time then to offer more options to people. And with the Comedypreneur Show, I have someone else who is a marketing person who's better at marketing than I am that will go through and we'll test things. So we can test it and see it happening and then give feedback and say, hey, guys, this worked for us. This is what we did. And that way it'll help, you know, get your comedy numbers up on Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is we're messing with. And that way to help.
I saw a slight bump in YouTube numbers after the last episode went up. So thank you, whichever listeners got there on there.
There you go.
It was a slow, steady climb to 1,000.
That's what I'm trying to get to as well, as 1,000. And isn't the rule like if you have 1,000 loyal people, you can make $100,000 to live or something like that? Isn't that the
I remember my college professor telling me that in film school, and it was like before Kickstarter was around.
Yeah,
where I'm like, that's basically what that is. He's like, yeah, if you have 1,000 like true fans around the world, like you can have a career.
Yeah,
like you won't necessarily be rich, but like you can keep putting movies out if there's 1,000 people who like will just go see everything that you do.
And that's the goal, is to take the Patreon and turn it into things like doing a sketch album that we just released. Like one, we give it to all the patrons and then we release it everywhere else. And we just make these sketches that are audio.
That's another thing
and funny.
I heard your, I forget the comic you talked to about. He just
Brian
put
Kahatsu.
A sketch album out.
Brian Kahatsu. Yeah.
I was listening to that episode. I'm like, that's another thing that like isn't really around as much anymore.
Yeah, the like it used to be the National Lampoon's Radio Hour would do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was National Lampoon, Cheech and Chong, and early Adam Sandler. Like, like it was all.
I want to bring that back. That was stuff that I grew up with and loved. So there we go. That's what you're going to help with Patreon. You're going to help make more cool, crazy stuff, because then I can go to Glenn and say, Glenn, I'll give you $50 if you record this sketch with me. Hey, Ben Knight, will you make a musical song for us for the album? Hey, Luke, will you play a new song? Or hey, David Studebaker, help me write some sketches. Whatever it is, I can go to all
the show
my
with David Studebaker. He says hi, by the way.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Where did you
do a virtual
show
when I was, I think when I was in Kansas City, it all kind of blended together. It's just hotel room after hotel room. I think it was when I was in Kansas City. You came up because it was either you or Luke. I think he saw like the day before.
Oh, okay.
The show, and whichever one it was said my name when they were at Disneyland. And then like the next day. Yeah. Then the next day he's like, I'm doing a show with that guy. Like, like that's what happens when you like summoned me. When you say my name in Disneyland, I just appear in your
awesome.
Zoom.
And that's people right there. That's why I make friends with as many people as I can, because I love that there's always those connections. I talk about somebody and boom, something happens. I want good things out in the world.
And I did
everybody.
A corporate Zoom together.
Perfect. That's so awesome.
He was really good.
Well, Glenn, thank you so much. Thank you everybody for listening. Go check out Glenn's stuff on YouTube. Let's get him to 1,000 too. This podcast to 1,000, Glenn to 1,000. We'll do Patreon. We'll make cool stuff. You guys will be the first ones. And I'm going to do cool things.
I'll actually post stuff to YouTube.
There you go.
When I get those numbers up.
I'll put patrons' names as producers in things that we make. Like, I don't care. I want to help everybody. And I love people like supporting us. And so I'm willing to do whatever. So.
I won't include patrons' names on the list in Jerk the Magazine of the 100 biggest jerks in the world. If you support me or James on Patreon, you are off the list.
No, but what if they want to be on the list?
Then they get one spot higher than I would probably put them.
All the patrons are 99. That's it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Glenn, thank you so much again for being here. Thank you,
Always
everyone.
A pleasure.
Please like, subscribe, go give us some feedback, go give us some reviews on iTunes and all the other stuff out there. And thank you again. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.